hear the words of Jesus quoting Isaiah 6 while teaching the people. You will indeed hear, but never understand. And you will indeed see, but never perceive. For this people's heart is grown dull, and with their eyes they can barely hear. And their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and turn, and I would heal them. Ears that can barely hear, eyes that are closed, eyes that can't see, hearts that can't understand. This is what we talk about today. This week I went into urgent care for allergy concerns or for sickness or whatever. It was kind of allergy concerns, and I ended up getting prescribed steroids. But what I wasn't expecting was they checked in my ears. And I had kind of had trouble hearing for a while. I would ask people to repeat themselves a lot. I couldn't even hear how loud I was. Like, couldn't hear my own voice. And what they were saying is, we can't even see your eardrum. This is just so messed up. So without going into too much detail, they spent about an hour cleaning up my ears. And I was just amazed. I could hear again. Like, I could hear my own voice. I could hear other people. And so if I've been hollering up here for about a year now, you know why. You know, I couldn't even hear myself talk half the time. And so I just get louder and louder and louder because I couldn't even hear inside my own head. It was crazy. When I got out, I was like, I can hear everything. And it's quite amazing. It's awesome. And do you know that the same thing is with our hearts? So we talked about the heart last week. So that's our center of personality. That's the center of who we are, the immaterial part of us, our soul. And I wanted to take another Sunday to talk about that because that's really important, isn't it? I thank you, Jean and Inga, for coming, and it is truly out of the heart, isn't it, that you minister in Sweden. Lord's given them in that very center who they are. We can't see it with our five senses, but God's given them a passion for that people in their heart. They are passionate about the gospel of Jesus Christ in their hearts, so that good news of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ and the salvation that ensures for us. That's at their heart. And it matters because when we talk about the heart and we talk about our affections, so those affections meaning those things that our heart is drawn towards and those things that we protect, it matters what we understand with our heart because it will affect what we see, it will affect what we hear. And I don't mean what we physically see, I don't mean what we physically hear, I'm talking about what we spiritually see and what we spiritually hear. We believe God is alive. We believe that the invisible realm is real. We believe spirituality is real. We believe that there is a kingdom beyond us, the kingdom of God. And though we can't see it with our five senses, we know it's there because we hear it with our hearts. That is, if Jesus says, if we have the ears to hear, and if we have the heart to understand, if we have the eyes to see it. I quoted Tim Keller last week on the heart. I'd like to read this quote again because I think this is excruciatingly important. Him writing on the heart, he writes, affections are the inclination of the whole person. So affections are what guides us to certain things. Affections are the inclination of the whole person when sensing the beauty and excellence of some object. When the heart inclines or when the heart races after an object in love, it propels us to acquire and protect it. So that which is important in our hearts, that's what we are going to acquire, whether it be money, whether it be possessions under the sun, whether it be comforts, whether it be success, we're going to acquire, we're going to protect those things. That's where our heart is at. If our affections are apart from God and they are in things under the sun, and things under the sun are a good thing, we've learned that in our time Ecclesiastes, if our affections are there, it's empty and it's vanity. And here's what happens. Our affections are not found in God many times. We do not understand the ministry of the Spirit. This text is going to unpack what the ministry of the Spirit is. And even though that we hear the ministry of the Spirit taught so many times, even though that we hear the Bible preached many times, we can hear it with our physical ears. Even though we can hear these things, what oftentimes happens is we cannot see the ministry of the Spirit. Our hearts can't see it. Our hearts aren't stirred by it. Our hearts aren't moved by the gospel to mission. My heart oftentimes is not moved towards mission. My heart oftentimes is in the wrong place. My heart oftentimes is chasing after things like a runaway train on a track after the wrong things. Our heart runs and it paces for things, anything. And jumping into our text, if you're following along with me today, I'm in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. It's page 965 in my Bible. That might not help you at all, but that's what page I'm on. And here in verse 1 in chapter 4, Paul writes this. Let's jump in here. He writes, therefore, and we want to know, as theologians and pastors often say, what is the therefore, therefore? Paul writes, therefore, having this ministry, by the mercy of God, we do not lose heart. And so in that context, we want to understand what ministry he's talking about. In verses earlier, he talks about two ministries. He talks about the ministry of condemnation, pretty strong word there, and he talks about the ministry of the Spirit. And this context is, he's talking about when Jesus has come. We've talked about the Old and the New Covenant here, and reading our Bibles, it's so important that we understand the agreements between God and his people. And Jesus has brought about a new agreement how man and God relate. And so it's a new ministry for Paul. He formerly being in Judaism before meeting Jesus on the road to Damascus, he was a deliverer of the law. And that was a good God-ordained role, and the law is good, and we don't throw out law in the new covenant, of course. But what changes is this. Because we could not fulfill the law, the new agreement is that Jesus would come down and he would fulfill every little aspect of the law in probably ways I can't even understand. Prophetic functions, living a perfect life under a holy God, all those things. And then going to the cross, knowing that there is a human race that could not follow the law on their own, he goes and dies on the death on the cross, takes on our sin and our punishment, and is raised back to life. And then something miraculous happens when we are born again, when we place our faith and our heart is turned towards Christ. In this new ministry of the Spirit, the law is written on our hearts. And so the work of the Spirit is this. We follow, as Gene was saying, we don't follow to earn faith. But what we do is because of our faith and devotion in Christ, through the Spirit living in us, through that law engraven on our hearts by the Spirit, we are free to follow him. And even when we mess up, we have the Advocate, Jesus Christ. It's a whole new ministry. And Paul says, I don't lose heart because of this ministry, because in the old covenant, as it were, there was a veil. And so Moses would approach God, his face would be glowing, and when he came back down to the people, he had to put a veil in front of his face because if the people saw that glory of God in his face, it's just destructive. The holiness of God is hot and it's burning. But what happens in the new covenant is amazing. Through Jesus, through the Spirit, through the gospel message, that central message of the cross, we actually, that veil is taken away and we behold his glory without any barrier. Our heart can live to him. Our heart can see, our heart can hear, and there's nothing in the way anymore. And so this is why the new ministry of the Spirit is so important. But yet, as Paul says verses earlier, people could not see it. Oftentimes, they insisted on continuing to deliver the law without Christ. They refused to be ministers of grace and truth. They refused to dispense grace because they were steeped in where their hearts were at and their minds were hardened, as Paul writes. So even though we're far removed from that, it's the same for us. Where are our hearts? Can we see the ministry of the Spirit? So the ministry of the Spirit, I'm going to remind you, is that new covenant ministry of the gospel, where the living Spirit of God is the one doing the renewal of hearts by grace through faith. He's saving that which was lost by grace through faith. And he's using the gospel message of the cross, the death, burial, and resurrection, what happened there to buy people to himself and to build his kingdom. That's the ministry of the Spirit, and it's done through the Spirit. And can we see that? Is that where our hearts are at? Because to see this new ministry of the Spirit, whether it's individual believers, whether people in your family or acquaintances who might not know this ministry of the Spirit and the saving grace that it has from eternal condemnation in hell separated from God, a change of heart is needed to understand this ministry. A change of heart is needed to know what our place is in this ministry. So a genuine change of heart to understand this ministry of the Spirit and the healing that it brings is needed, necessary, and it is possible through the gospel. We can be good stewards of it here, brothers and sisters. So when we're talking about our hearts, when we're talking about the gospel going forth, whether it be in Sweden, whether it be here in Northwest Iowa, in the tri-state area, in our families, with our acquaintances, in our schools, genuine heart change is where it starts. And two things here today. You can't fake genuine heart change. You can't fake it. But the good news is you can make it. So it's not fake it till you make it, but it's realizing we can't fake it. Genuine heart change, we can't fake it, but by God's grace, we can make it, and we can see this ministry of the Spirit and what that means for us here. The preacher Erwin Lutzer, he was a pastor at Moody Church in Chicago, and I'm borrowing this illustration from him because I think it's really poignant and points to the reality that we're talking about here, the reality of faking genuine change. He said in his sermon, Getting Conversion Right, he said in this sermon that he was traveling with his wife and he came to a jewelry stand. I can't ever say jewelry right, so you have to bear with me here. But he came to a stand and he saw two kinds of things. He saw jewelry labeled as genuine fake jewelry. So it looked like the real thing. Maybe smelled like the real thing, I don't know. But it looks like the real thing. But then when he looked at the tag, he said, genuine fake jewelry, what's that all about? And what he learned is it wasn't real diamonds or real gold or real silver, but it was things to make it look like. And as he said in the sermon, he said some were more fake than others, like some of them had more diamond content in it, however that works, or more gold content. But the reality is that even though they looked real, they were labeled genuine fake. And then in another booth, there were the real. And they looked really similar if you set them side by side, especially with me not knowing really much or anything about jewelry. They looked the same. And Christianity, that is precisely what happens with Christians. He goes on to say, there's genuine fake Christians. They look like the real thing. They can talk the talk. Maybe they can even walk the walk on the occasion. They can do all the church activities. They can show up to committees. They can show up to a worship service. All those being good things, but one vital thing, and indeed the one crucial thing, is missing, and that's the genuine heart change through the Spirit. And so you can't fake genuine heart change here. Because if you look into the text, a genuine fake, if you will, becomes about yourself. It becomes about promoting yourself to the church. Becomes about promoting yourself to God. It becomes a rat race of trying to do enough to earn faith, because that genuine faith was never there in the first place in Jesus Christ. That genuine love for Jesus Christ was never there in the first place. When they look at the cross and when they look in the Word and when they look at the implications of the gospel, their heart never leaps because it has never done anything for them in the first place. But for some reason, there is some motive, there is some drive to be a good church person, to be a good Christian, thus leading to genuine fake. And what we see here is this, the first part of verse 2, Paul writes, but we have renounced disgraceful, underhanded ways, and we refuse to practice cunning or to tamper with the word of God. And so what he's saying is this, I've seen a ministry that encapsulates my heart so much, I don't tamper with the word of God, I don't use cunning and deception. I don't try to convince anyone of something that I'm not. all I do is I go with the gospel of Christ alone because that's what has worked in my heart. And what we see from this verse is no amount of preaching yourself will convince anyone of the ministry of the Spirit. Now, it might deceive someone for a short term. I remember an example that growing up in Sunday school, there was a substitute Sunday school teacher and a pretty big church. I mean, it was about 40 middle school students. And I remember he asked, and I was actually in two classes with him, and he said the same thing twice. He asked, how are you in a relationship with God? And a kid would raise his hand or her hand, and they would say, well, it's by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, or it's by placing your faith in him, or it's by trusting in him, dying on the cross on your behalf, something like that. And he would always say, no, you're wrong. You have to do this, this, this. And it wasn't the message of what James says, that the gospel comes and then works come. He was saying works come, and then maybe the gospel is kind of compartmentalized. Genuine fake, maybe to see people for a time, but for eternity, this kind of teacher, whether you're twisting a little doctrine about the doctrine of hell or eternity, whether you're twisting a little doctrine to your liking about the work of Jesus Christ, whether you're twisting the doctrine just a little bit about sin so it fits your schema of it, whatever it might be, you know, it might be a degree off, but over time you are way off. And so what happens is this. People might be deceived for the short time, but in the light of eternity, you are fooling no one by the genuine fake ministry that you have in the long scheme of things. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the only thing which has the power to save for eternity. So no amount of preaching yourself will ever convince anyone of the ministry of the Spirit. And no amount of Christianese or triteness can ever replace the value and the depth of the gospel. And by Christianese, I mean this. I mean lingo that is common in the church, or phrases that are common saying that might make ourselves look like good Christians around other people. Things that we might say, or triteness that we might say, words that are used over and over again with no genuine ownership in your own heart, used over and over again to make an appearance to the flesh. And no amount of that can ever replace the value and the depth of the gospel, as we'll later see. Because Paul comes, says, and rather, he's coming against people who are questioning his ministry, and he could have had every excuse to use cunning with these people. People around him in this context here in Corinthian church, many of them accused him of being fake, accused him of being illegitimate, not the real deal, preaching a false gospel. But he said, hey, I don't use cunning or deception or tamper with God's word to get my way, but by open statement, I commend everyone to the truth. And what commend people to the truth means I preach the gospel, I point to Jesus Christ alone, and I point to the cross alone, and I point to this word alone, and that is my defense. That is my defense. I don't say or do anything else because it is the truth, and for eternity, whether they agree to it or not, that's where the truth is and where his integrity is found. So what we see here, you can't fake it. No amount of well-intended attempts at genuine heart change will ever allow for the genuine heart change that you need. Paul writing, in their case, the God of the world, blinding their minds, keeping them from seeing the light of the gospel, the glory of Christ. No amount of attempts apart from Christ will ever allow you to see the glory of God in Christ. No amount of attempts apart from Christ will ever allow you to see the beauty of this book. No matter the amount of attempts that you go out with to evangelize or tell people about Jesus apart from the gospel will yield any fruit. It won't allow for the heart change that you need and that others around you need. And so faking the Christian life, brothers and sisters, faking the Christian life will not work out for you. If your heart is not in it, and indeed it cannot be in it, there is no significant change apart from Christ. You will not persevere apart from Christ. You can look like the real thing, but you'll get sick of the activities. You'll get sick of the works because you won't have the ministry of the Spirit to guide you. And you'll fall away. Because at the end of the day, when someone comes up and they're yelling at you for what you're believing and standing up for, how in the world are you going to stand up to that when it's just you in the flesh? fall away. When someone comes up to you or relationships are severed because of the ministry, it'll be hard to keep going. When there's discouragement and heartache beyond heartache about the ministry and indeed your calling in life that you've been involved with, without the gospel and without looking to the cross in those moments and without the help of the Spirit, and how do we persevere? Faking it will not work out. You'll be exhausted and you'll totally miss out on the joy available to you in the gospel. But the good news is we don't have to fake it. By God's grace, we can make it. We don't have to fake it because Jesus alone is sufficient. Paul writes, and this is beautiful words. I hope you hear the beauty of this by the power of the Holy Spirit now. He writes, for what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ is Lord. Paul's saying, I'm not proclaiming my accomplishments. That's something I'm really tempted to do. I'm not proclaiming my own education. I'm not proclaiming my own morality. I'm not proclaiming my own ideas. Those can fall into their good places under Christ. But ultimately, he's saying, I proclaim Christ alone. We don't proclaim ourselves, but Jesus Christ is Lord. And guys, do you have any idea how powerful this is? Remember what Jesus claimed? He claimed to be the way and the truth and life, and no one comes to the Father except through him. He claimed he would never leave us. He promised that he would die death on a cross. He promised to make justice done on the cross. He promised to make us alive to God. Jesus alone is sufficient. And it doesn't have to be about you anymore when your heart's changed. It doesn't have to be this empty rat race of commending yourself all the time. It doesn't have to be this empty thing of having to be defensive of your own positions all the time. It doesn't have to be this rat race of self-justifying yourself all the time. It doesn't have to be about you. Because at the end of the day, light pierces the darkness. As it is written, let the light shine out of darkness. That's what God does. Light pierces a dark heart, completely changing it by grace through faith alone. And wow, it doesn't have to be about you anymore. And the only way we will ever see that, church, the only way I will ever see that it doesn't have to be about me, the only way ministers of the gospel here together will see that is if we see the beauty of the cross, we read about it in the Word, we gaze upon Christ, our hearts are moved by the Spirit. I can't manipulate anything or any one of you into believing the gospel. I can't manipulate myself. Like on a rough Monday morning when I'm totally not making it and I just feel so far away and I feel very tempted to make it about myself and my heart is not in it, and I can't do anything. I can't do any acrobatic tricks to get myself on the right track. No, it's this Word. It's union with Christ. It's prayer. It's looking to Him. It's looking to the ministry of the Spirit. The Spirit being our helper, that's what He's called. The Spirit being the advocate, that's what He's called, the one who points us to Christ, and Christ being the one who points us to the Father, and the Father glorifying the Son, Son sending the Spirit. That's what it's all about. We can't do anything to orient our hearts, but we can make it, and the answer is simply through the gospel alone. We don't move on from it from the day of our conversion, but indeed every morning and every waking minute, we have to be pointed because we, like sheep, go astray. So you can make it because a genuine change of heart will lead to an understanding of the ministry of the Spirit. As we're closing our time today, here's what Paul writes. He says, man, this light has shone in the darkness. He's shone in my heart. It shines continually. The light has shone in our hearts to give light to the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. That's how we make it. When we're going out on hard missions, whether it's in Sweden, looking at the face of Jesus Christ and beholding the glory of God, that's how you guys persevere, I'm convinced, even if as I listen to Eugene. We Grandview Covenant Church, no matter what difficulties we have been confronted with or what difficulties we will be confronted with, we persevere because our hearts behold the ministry of the Spirit, and we can look to Christ and behold the glory of God and the beauty of that. That's how we persevere. We see the beauty of who we are in Christ. We persevere. We consider the beauty of who this church is, the bride of Christ, under the lens of Christ. That's how we persevere. We see the beauty of what he's done for us on the cross. We see the beauty of his salvation plan. We see the beauty of his kingdom. And then our hearts long to say, let your kingdom come, and I'm not going to try to build my kingdom anymore. We're not going to try to build our kingdom anymore because we see the gospel. And when we look in the face of Christ and behold the glory of God, that's what we want under the sun. It's not vain. It's not empty. It's what our family needs, our acquaintances, our schools, our towns. People struggling and people lost, that's what they need. That's what's going to make their heart burst alive to a living relationship with God. And that is what indeed will heal their hearts and their misguided affections. And so 2 Corinthians 3:18, Paul writes, we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed from one image, from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is Spirit. Let's ask ourselves, if we behold the glory of the Lord with no barrier, if we really believe we're being transformed from one degree of glory to another, and when we're no longer here, what a change of degree of glory that will be, won't it? That even happens right now. God's alive right now. Miracles happen right now. Dead hearts become alive right now. Hard soil that cannot be broken up on our own efforts can be broken up through the Spirit. He does that now. And if we behold this glorious work of his kingdom and his rule, and there's no barrier, like our souls can see it, our souls can hear it very crystal clear, only because of the gospel and the ministry of the Spirit through which we proclaim, how will that affect our lives and our ministry? How will that affect our lives? If we see what God has done in our hearts, won't we just naturally share the ministry of the Spirit with other people? Won't we naturally be versed in it? Because as we are being transformed to one degree of glory to another, that's what we want to see happen in our community. That's why we're here. We can come up with our own ideas why churches are here, but the playbook's been given to us, like you say. It's the Great Commission. That's why we're here, whether we like it or not, or whether I like it or not, whether I get up on a Monday morning, whether I like it or not. We're in it together, and we together behold the glory of Christ. We together have our hearts transformed from one degree of glory to another. And through that, we let that affect the beauty of our ministry. Because, yeah, it is an impossible ministry and calling ahead of us. And we won't have the heart to persevere if our heart isn't in Christ. Church will become about something else. Mission will become about something else. And it could easily dwell and drift into being a genuine fake, going through life with good church behavior, showing up worship services and committees and all these things. But the only way the mission will be realized in our communities is if it starts with the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's where our hearts are found in. It's where we find the grace to persevere when we don't measure up, because we won't. That's where we find the power to go out with the gospel, because we also don't have the power for that on our own. Look to Christ in the Word. Go to Christ in prayer. Experience Christ in the body. Experience Him with no barrier. Let it affect your lives and your ministry. Amen.